else is here.
Everybody else is here? That's crazy, that pulled up quickly. Case number 5, 22-613.
You'll need an oath.
Yes. The appellant checked in late. So revocation with the state. Sir, can you just remain standing, raise your right hand so I can administer the oath. Do you solemnly swear or affirm, as the case may be, that the evidence you shall give here today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you God on for on penalty of perjury?
I do.
You may be seated. Sir, just because you missed the opening remarks, you are remaining anonymous. We're not going to state your name. You don't have to state your name. And we've asked everybody else here to not state your name. If you want to tell us your name, that's up to you. You are entitled to stay anonymous, if you'd like. I'm going to give each of you a chance to have an opening statement, a brief opening statement, briefly summarizing your case, and then we're going to get into the evidence, as you saw in the last case, in more detail. Then we'll have closing statements to take the vote. Make sense?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Counsel, can you please identify yourself and your witness for the record?
Yes. My name is Jennifer Miller of the Issuing Authority, and with me is Detective Justin Thiebolt. From the Newington Police Department.
And Detective, please spell your last name for the record.
Thiebault.
Okay, Counsel, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes, please. The appellant currently has two charges pending from this incident, for which he was just in court yesterday. Those are illegal discharge of a firearm and criminal mischief in the first degree. It's a misdemeanor and a felony charge, respectively. For that reason alone, the Issuing Authority submits the revocation to be upheld here. However, to the extent that the board disagrees, the appellant's conduct which gave rise to those charges further demonstrates that he is not a suitable candidate to have a permit. I would also note that I did make contact with GA 15 yesterday afternoon to find out about what occurred yesterday in court. The matter was continued. It is on the pretrial gun docket in GA 15. Thank you.
What was the day of the next court date?
I don't know the next day, but it was continued for additional investigation. Okay. It's being, I believe, handled by the state's attorney in GA 15.
I think it's May 1 of 24.
Yeah.
I reflect. May 1st, 24?
May 1st, yeah. Thank you.
Okay, sir, would you like to make an opening statement? Just reminding you that you have pending cases and you're entitled to your Fifth Amendment rights against self-incrimination.
Yes.
And just, you will understand, at the beginning I also made a disclosure about Freedom of Information Act. This is a public hearing, so the public will have access to anything you state here, including the state in your pending criminal case.
I understand.
You understand? Okay. Okay. Would you like to make an opening statement?
I would. I just want to make note of the constitutional presumption of innocence. This case has not been adjudicated at this point, so I am under the presumption of innocence at this point.
Understood.
This is a self-defense case. I was at my commercial property, and there was a burglary in process. Four individuals were robbing my business, and one of those individuals, upon confrontation, did come at me with their vehicle, attempting to run me over, and I fired two shots as I was knocked to the ground.
Sir, do you have defense counsel in that case?
Excuse me?
You have defense counsel in the criminal case?
Yes.
And that counsel knows you're here today?
Yes.
Okay. All right, counsel, you may proceed.
Detective Thiebault again.
Okay, thank you.
Can you please state your name and the record?
Justin Thiebault.
Detective, where are you currently employed?
Town of Newington.
And were you employed with Newington PD on October 30th, 2021?
Yes.
And what capacity?
Patrol officer.
And that morning, were you dispatched to Cashway Motors?
I was.
And what time did you receive that dispatch approximately?
Approximately 6:50 a.m.
And what was that call regarding?
Call for shots fired.
How long did it take you to arrive on scene?
Approximately 2 minutes.
On that day, what was the weather like, if you recall?
Still dark at the time, and it was extensive rain.
And can you describe the area when you arrived around Cashaway Motors? What is it in the vicinity?
It's just to the north is an industrial park, industrial businesses. To the immediate east, there's a church in a residential neighborhood. To the west, there is two active Amtrak trains, as well as the bus line that connects Brandon Park Fast Track.
When you arrived on scene, did you have the opportunity to speak to the appellant?
I did.
And what was his demeanor at the time?
Calm.
And can you please explain what you learned when you spoke to him?
That he was alerted via text message notification of a camera that he has on property, of a silhouette behind a fenced off area. Him and his wife had driven to the property parking at the neighboring church. They had approached on foot and confronted several individuals, a burglary in progress, at which time one of the vehicles had fled.
And did he call the police when he had the notification that there was somebody on his commercial property?
He did not.
Okay. And did he indicate to you when the police were called and by whom?
The police were contacted by his wife from the church parking lot after the sound of gunfire.
And where did he indicate that he was standing when he fired the first shot?
In close proximity to his business, near the building itself and or the gated off section where he encountered the burglar.
And where do you believe the position of the truck was based on the appellant?
Backed up to the fence gate where property was being pushed over the fencing in a southbound direction.
And based on your observation of the scene, what position did you believe that the truck moved after it was departing the scene?
It fled southbound.
Okay. And was it based on your training experience and the scene in general, do you believe that it was driving at the appellant or out away from the scene?
Away from the scene.
And did you ascertain that based on track marks, or what other information did that you receive?
His statement, as well as track marks on scene from the fleeing vehicle. Okay.
And the track marks were going in where? Where did you see them?
Approximately 50 yards away, going from the southbound direction over a little grass hill that would lead up the hill to the only avenue that it could lead that area.
Based on the appellant's information he provided to you about his location and the location of the motor vehicle, based on your training experience, is it likely that the vehicle was going at the appellant at the time or away from the scene?
Away.
During the investigation, did you notice any damage to any other vehicle on the property?
Yes.
And who did you determine to be the owner of that vehicle?
One of the suspect that was apprehended a short time after, his wife's ex-husband owned that vehicle.
And what type of damage was done to that vehicle?
All the windows were smashed and the tires were popped.
And how were the tires deflated?
The little air valve stems that stick up that you would put air in your tires were cut.
And was the vehicle operable when you arrived?
No.
And in your investigation, did you determine what the condition was of the vehicle when you arrived at Cashaway Motors that morning?
Yes.
And what did you determine?
That the vehicle was operable and utilized to transport one or two suspects to that location. At which time it was inoperable after.
Did you locate anything on the ground at the scene that also indicated the damage was done on scene?
There's fresh broken glass inside the vehicle as well as outside the vehicle. And it was fairly dry initially, indicating that it hadn't been sitting there through a night of pouring rain.
Based on your training experience, is it likely the trespassers damaged their own car before fleeing?
No.
Based on the evidence that you collected, did you, the Newington PD determine there was probable cause to arrest the appellant for that damage?
Yes.
Did the appellant ever explain to you why he didn't call the police when he received the notification of the camera going off and instead went to the property on his own accord?
Not to my recollection.
Yeah. So again, just one more question with regard to the circumstances. So I obviously did not have an opportunity to get these pictures ahead of time. If there are any questions about the scene, it's very hard to understand through the testimony, as you can tell, about where vehicles were located. So if it comes up, I do have some photographs that would be helpful to the board and with the permission of the impoundment. I think that's all my questions now. Thank you.
Sir, do you have any questions of the witness?
Yes, I do. The call at the time was not for burglary in process?
No, it was for shots fired.
It's incorrect.
My wife made the call. Sir, all right. So the way this goes is we have one witness at a time. We ask questions, and then you will be able to be a witness. At that point, you can testify what your recollection of what happened was. But this is just for him to answer. If that's his recollection, that's what his recollection is. Understood? Okay. Other questions?
Yes. You noted that there were tire marks?
Yes, sir.
And the area is a paved area, correct?
Yes, sir.
So how are there tire marks on a paved area?
The grass strip between the nursery and the hill that goes up Francis Avenue is separated by grass.
Which is several football fields away from the actual area.
About 50 yards.
So the tire tracks were not at the area of the incident?
They were in proximity.
Okay. Does the board have questions of the detective chief?
You responded to the scene, correct?
Yes, sir.
So the call you got over the radio was?
Shots fired.
I think what he was saying is the call was a burglary in progress, which could have happened, but you got shots fired going to the scene.
Yes, sir.
Is that what you're saying?
At that point in time, we only had one dispatcher working, so she's taking a call and dispatching multiple units. So that was what was broadcast, was a call for shots fired.
All right, thanks.
Other questions by the board?
Sure. Did you take the statement from the appellant? Or did another officer?
Yes,
you did. So what did the appellant explain had occurred?
He explained described to me in the proximity of where he was standing when he interacted or intervened in the burglary in progress. When he was dropped off at the church by his wife, he approached on foot, said something to the effect of stop thief or stop bandit or something of that nature. He explained that he saw individuals pushing scrap metal over the fence, at which time stated that there was a brief altercation, whether verbal or physical, I don't recall, at which time he said that the vehicle was fleeing and he tripped backwards, causing him to fire his firearm.
And how many times did he fire his firearm?
Twice.
The vehicle that was damaged, I can't remember whose it was.
One of the suspects that was apprehended a short distance away.
Yep.
Confessed the crime. It was his current wife or girlfriend's ex-husband's car.
Okay. So the suspect that was apprehended, did he provide a statement what occurred?
He did.
And what did he drove that vehicle to the site?
He was either the driver or passenger.
Okay.
They met with whoever owned that black truck.
Yep.
They conspired to meet there at a certain time for this purpose.
And this was a scrap metal theft?
It's hard to explain the business. There's multiple vehicles behind the fenced off area that are very damaged, miscellaneous property. It's, from my perspective, a junkyard.
Yeah, but it appears from, they said it looked like they were trying to steal scrap metal.
There was scrap metal left behind on the ground outside the gate.
And the vehicle, I guess, was a Honda CRV?
Yes.
That was driven there?
Yes.
It was not damaged when it got there?
Correct.
Did you determine that through camera?
Through a witness, actually one of the burglars,
yep.
Through their interviews, that they, one, observed it happen,
So what did he observe happen?
That the appellant utilized a firearm to smash the windows and damage the vehicle.
Okay. Because I don't think we got how it got there. So one of the suspects drove the CRV to the lot, was partaking the burglary. When the appellant arrived, people started to flee, and one of the suspects actually observed the appellant damage the vehicle.
That's what his statement says, yes.
How many suspects were arrested in the case?
My recollection is two.
One was caught, fleeing the scene?
One was caught,
On foot in the area?
A quarter mile away. The other one, by a warrant, okay. Later on.
That's all I have.
Did you ask the appellant how the vehicle was damaged? Did you flat out ask him? And what did he say?
He denied any involvement.
I would imagine we're going to ask him today while he's under oath. Maybe he has more information, I hope. All right, thank you.
How did the burglar who stated the appellant smashed the car, how did he say the appellant did that?
In his statement, he said he utilized what he thought was a rifle. To my understanding, a revolver, like an older model long revolver, was utilized in this incident, which is what we seized. But perhaps just using the butt end of a pistol. The property has a significant amount of tools and other things in the vicinity, tools in the vicinity as well.
Does anybody have questions while I'm trying to put together my next question?
Was there any video?
There's no video on the exterior of the property there. Only video that we have knowledge of was the still frame photograph that was sent to the appellant, which notified him of the burglary.
What was the basis of the criminal mischief charge?
The damaging of the vehicle.
And the illegal discharge of firearm, what was the basis of that?
Yes.
What was the basis?
I was not the concluding investigating officer for this case. It did wind up going to a detective at that time. I was not the detective at the time. The two that we interviewed and apprehended, whether that night or in follow-up investigations, had conflicting information based on when the shots were fired. They said that they, meaning the burglars that were interviewed, is that there was an initial shot fired, then the stop thief or stop freeze, etc., trying to alert them that this was occurring. Then the second shot was fired as they heard the vehicle fleeing.
In the appellant's opening statement, he said he was knocked to the ground. To me, that implies contact. And I think you said he fell backwards, or he told you he fell backwards.
To my recollection, I was told that he tripped backwards.
Was not contacted by the truck or fleeing vehicle. Thanks.
Other questions? Seeing none, any other witnesses?
No, thank you.
All right. It's your turn to tell us what you'd like us to know.
The initial contact, I did say stop thief. At that time, the driver of the pickup truck, which the police failed to locate, approached me with a pipe. I told him to drop the pipe or I was going to drop him. And at that point, he dropped the pipe, entered the pickup truck, which was running, and tried to run me over. That's the time I discharged the firearm when the truck was, the first shot was when the truck was trying to run me over, and the second shot was as the truck knocked me to the ground. And the witness that he indicated in this case that said that he saw me damage the vehicle in his statement, which I believe you have, said that I broke the driver's side window out with the butt of my AR-15, which I did not have. And he said that I was wearing a long leather coat and had an AR-15 in his statement. I was not wearing a leather coat, nor did I have an AR-15. And I also want to make note that this suspect did admit he was participating in the robbery, and the police department never arrested him. I'm still to this day wondering why. He admitted he was a co-conspirator, and I don't know how I could break the window out of a vehicle with my AR-15 that I did not have. The detective in the case that interviewed that suspect mentioned to him that there was no rifle at the scene and that there was no brass recovered at the scene. And he responded that I must have had a brass catcher on my AR-15. And I believe that's in the report. I was in fear for my life. I was responding to a text message picture that I had received from a game camera that I had installed the day before due to numerous thefts. And previously, they stole the two game cameras I had on site. This one I had screwed to a tree that was on the fence line. And apparently they didn't see this one because they didn't take it.
Is that it?
That's concluded.
Counsel Cross?
Yes. Do you know approximately how long you had your permit before this incident occurred?
I believe it was about at least 20 years.
You've had your pistol permit?
Yes.
I'll return to that in a moment. Did you not call the police, is that correct?
My wife, who was in the car with me, called the police when we arrived on the scene.
Okay. You didn't call the police when your phone went off indicating there was somebody on the property?
Correct. It was a new camera. I wasn't sure how it worked or if it was accurate. I just purchased it and installed it. I wasn't sure how it worked or so I wanted to make sure that there was actually something going on before I called.
Okay, but didn't you call your business partner or somebody else to find out whether or not it was them that was on the property before you called the police?
No.
You made no calls to anyone before you?
I did call my business partner. I did not ask him if he was on the property.
So what did you call him for, sir? You called him on your en route to the property, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Did you call him to indicate there was somebody on the property that was not you or him?
I indicated to him that I had received an alert on the camera and I was going to check it out.
Okay. And still at that point you had not called the police, that's correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then when you arrived on scene, you parked across the street at the church, is that correct?
I parked adjacent to my property in a protected parking lot because my wife was in the car and I did not want her to be on scene.
And you took your weapon from the motor vehicle and proceeded on foot to the property, is that correct?
Correct.
And then, sir, when you arrived on scene, you saw a truck, is that correct? A black truck backed up onto your property?
Yes.
And
with two individuals loading my property into the back of their truck.
And where were you in relation to the truck when the individual got into the vehicle?
In front of.
You were in front of it. Do you recall telling the police officer that you were standing next to the driver's side door?
No.
You do not recall saying that?
No.
Okay. Is it possible that that is something you might have indicated to the police that day?
No.
That your location was adjacent and not in front of the truck?
No.
I was in front of the truck.
Okay. And at what time did you discharge the first shot?
I didn't have a stopwatch at the time.
But you're indicating that it was when the truck began moving in your direction, is that correct?
Correct.
Did you shoot at the windshield of the vehicle?
Yes.
In an attempt to strike the driver?
Yes.
And then at some point you fell backwards, is that correct?
Correct.
And you discharged the weapon a second time?
Yes.
And you don't know where that went when you discharged the weapon, is that correct?
It went toward the vehicle.
Okay. But you don't actually know if the bullet made contact with the vehicle, is that correct?
No, because the police never located the vehicle.
Okay. And would you agree that you can see the train station, bus station from your property?
No.
No. Would you agree it's in close proximity to your property?
It's across several fences and a barrier.
Okay, but it is in proximity. Is that a fair?
It's a quarter mile away.
Okay. As to the vehicle that was on scene, sir, would you agree that that CRV was not yours?
Correct.
Okay, did you recognize the CRV when you arrived on scene?
No.
Okay. Was the CRV on scene before that burglary occurred?
I do not know.
You don't know if it was on your property before the burglars arrived on scene?
I do not know if it was there or not. I wasn't there.
But you do know that it was not your vehicle, is that correct?
Correct.
And you would agree that there was glass on your property, is that correct?
There was glass on my property, and two of my vehicles that were in the front parking lot also had broken windows on them.
And approximately, how far away do you live from your property, sir?
A couple of miles.
How many minutes do you think it would take you to drive there?
8 to 10 minutes.
Okay. And is it fair to say that the notification went off to you around 6:30 in the morning?
No.
What time did the notification go off on your phone?
I believe the notification on the picture was 6:41.
Okay. So the notification went off and then the call was made to the police approximately 10 minutes later?
9 minutes later.
And is it true, sir, that you indicated to the police that you did not call because you didn't think they would arrive on time?
No, I had noted that I wasn't sure the camera system, how it worked, because it was just installed. However, there was an incident on Monday of the same week where I encountered an individual jumping over my fence, and I called the police. And I followed the individual into a building further down the street at an industrial property. And I met the police at the property, described the individual, and the police never entered the building, never did any follow-up at the time.
So in a prior occasion, sir, you have followed a suspect on your own before contacting the police?
No, I contacted the police once I encountered him jumping over my fence. And my property is adjacent to the railroad tracks. And after I encountered him, he jumped back over the fence and kept walking down the railroad tracks. And the railroad tracks are fenced, but there's a couple of locations where there's a gap in the fence. So I figured that he was gonna exit through one of those gaps in the fence. So I got in my vehicle and went down the street to where I know one of the gaps in the fence was, at which point that suspect did appear that I encountered jumping the fence through that gap in the fence and started walking down the street. And I had the police on the phone at the time, and I was letting them know that I was following him.
And in this situation, sir, the police were called around 6:50 a.m., is it fair to say, as Detective Tibble indicated, that the police arrived within 2 to 3 minutes on the scene?
I'm not sure when they arrived. It was shortly thereafter.
And is it also fair to say, sir, that when the truck, your indication is the truck was driving towards you, but the truck then exited the scene rapidly?
Yes.
And then headed down Francis Avenue?
Yes.
Okay. I have no further questions. Thank you.
Does the board have questions?
Sure.
Did you damage the CRV?
No, sir.
Did you notice it in the lot when you when you arrived?
The only, there's a lot of vehicles in the lot. The only thing I noticed was the truck backed up to the gate full of metal.
Did the truck strike you?
I believe the truck struck me. That's what knocked me to the ground.
Okay, because yeah, and your statement is just said that you, he threw whatever he had in his hand, in the rear of the truck, jumped in the truck and accelerated toward me. I was in fear of my life. I fired one shot, but a foot away from the truck before it could hit me, and as I fell to the ground, I fired a second shot toward the truck.
Correct.
You didn't articulate that or your statement to us that it struck you.
I was knocked to the ground. I was in between a guardrail and the truck. In the parking lot, there's a guardrail that follows like where the fence would be. So I was backed up to the guardrail and I had the truck coming at me. I didn't have any area of retreat.
Again, but did the truck strike you?
I believe the truck struck me.
How do you explain the CRV being damaged?
I don't know. I wasn't there for the events leading up to this, and there was a white van on my property that had broken windows, and there was also a Mazda 3 that had the back window broken. That hit, those vehicles were whole the previous day.
CRV. The suspects admitted that they drove the CRV there as part of the, you know, burglarizing your business. So it hadn't been there overnight, hadn't been there very long.
According to them, I wasn't there the night before. I don't know what happened. I was doing repairs on my wife's house prior to
I'm just saying, but
showing.
Just based on their statements, it does seem that they drove it there as part of the burglary attempt to your business.
It wasn't a burglary attempt, it was a burglary.
Okay. The burglary to your business.
Other questions?
Was it actually a burglary to the business, or were they just trespassing in the fenced-in area?
No, it was a burglary.
They went inside in the business,
yes.
Itself, that's where they got the stuff?
There were two individuals inside my fenced-in area. And then there were two individuals loading the pickup truck as the two individuals that were inside of the fence were throwing stuff over the fence. So there were four burglars, two were inside my fenced-in area, and two were loading the truck.
Where does your criminal case stand today?
It has been continued to May 1st.
Have you applied for any programs like accelerated rehabilitation, or are you going to trial?
We're going to trial.
Okay. And the damage to the CRV is the felony, is that correct?
Correct.
That's the pending felony that you have now. The discharge of a firearm is a misdemeanor, that's my
correct.
Understanding.
The damage to the CRV is the felony based on the statement of one of the felons that was burglarizing my property.
Yeah, and I think what the colonel was getting at is CRV was brought there for the crime, and a short time later it was damaged, and you were there, and there was nobody else there, and you didn't see anybody else damaged. So there were four
burglars on the property at the time.
Right, but do you think they burglarized, or they damaged their own vehicle? Does that make sense?
I understand it doesn't make sense. When I noticed the vehicle, there was glass around it. And that was about the time that the police arrived.
Do you know how long the CRV was there? Do you know how long the suspects were there? Because you got one picture on your camera, but you must have had others.
I did have other pictures of them with items in their hands in the picture.
So with the pictures you had before you went to the scene, did you know someone was on your property?
I had received an alert from the camera that I had installed the day before.
Right.
I wasn't 100% sure how it worked.
Well, but what was on the picture?
A individual carrying a bin of wire.
Right. So regardless of how it worked, you knew someone was on your property stealing things at that time?
At that time.
Right. And I think you're implying earlier that you got this alert, you didn't know what it was, you figured you'd go check it out, but in fact you did know what it was. You knew someone was stealing from you at that moment.
Yes. I saw the picture, but I wasn't 100% sure. I just installed this camera. I wasn't 100% sure how it worked, if there was a delay. And I wanted to make sure they were there. And as we came down the street, my street's at like the bottom, my property's at like the bottom of a hill. As we started to come down the hill, I could see the truck in front of the gate. And that's when I had my wife call 911 and report a burglary in process.
Okay, I got that, but the reality is you actually knew there was a burglary in progress before you left your house.
I had seen someone on my camera, right, and I went to my property to check it out.
Okay, thanks.
Other questions?
So when you arrived, you knew that they were stealing stuff from your property, your business?
I could visibly see them loading stuff into their vehicle.
Yep, and any threat to you at that point?
No. Other than to my property.
Yeah, so at that point, it's just a property crime, 100%
yes,
a property crime.
Other questions? Sir, do you have any other witnesses?
No, ma'am, I don't.
Would you like to make a closing statement?
No, ma'am.
Would you like to make a closing statement?
Yes. So just to summarize, upon receiving the alert from his trail cam right around 6:30, there were unidentified individuals taking property on his commercial property. The appellant did not call the police immediately. Instead, he took matters into his own hands, going to the property with his wife and his firearm. At that time, it was raining heavily. It was still fairly dark outside at that time of day. The property, as discussed in the testimony, is in close proximity to the bus line and the train station and a residential area. Upon his arrival, he confronted the trespassers. Although the appellant indicates that one of the trespassers drove at him in his truck, thus necessitating the discharge of his firearm for his protection, the evidence contradicts that account. As Detective Tybalt testified, based on the tire marks, the location of the appellant by his own admission, the evidence supports the truck was actually fleeing the property at the time that the appellant discharged his firearm. As the appellant was firing his second round, by his own statement, he then fell to the ground and did not actually know where that shot was fired in an indisputably trafficked area by the public. Again, undermining his contention that he was in fear for his life, the evidence also demonstrates the police, when they arrived on scene, approached the other another vehicle and noticed that the vehicle driven by one of the trespassers or burglars had been damaged. There was broken windows, cut the valve stems on three of the tires, and rendered that vehicle inoperable. In sum, the appellant's decision to engage in vigilante justice, not only by failing to immediately call the police and then shooting at the trespassers, but to damage one of the vehicles that the trespassers had arrived in or the burglars had arrived in, demonstrates that he is not a suitable candidate for a permit. And again, noting these charges are pending and will be pending for, I'm guessing, a significant amount of time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Council. Brief factual.
Sure. This is a revocation by the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection. The revocation is based on incidents that occurred in October of 2021. Newington Police Department received a report of a burglary in progress with shots fired the early morning of that date. The appellant had received an alert on his trail cam that there were persons at his business. The appellant went with his wife to the business. Observed a pickup truck backed up to his gate. It appeared that people were stealing from his business. At that point, he told his wife to dial 911. The appellant exited the vehicle, approached at least one individual. The appellant told the person to stop thief. The suspect had what appeared to be a pipe or something in his hand. The appellant drew his turned out to be a revolver. The suspect then threw that object into the back of the vehicle. The appellant alleges that the suspect then drove the vehicle at him. When it came within very close proximity, I believe the appellant said at least a foot, he fired one round. Then he either tripped, fell over backwards, or the truck struck him and he went over backwards, in which he fell and fired a second round. Newington Police detective testified that it was their investigation revealed that the pickup truck was actually going away from the suspect, the appellant, when he fired the two rounds. Part of this case is damage to one of the suspect's vehicles, a CRV. Two of the suspects drove the CRV to partake in the crime. It was functioning properly, all no damage when it arrived. One of the suspects who was apprehended claims that he saw the appellant damage that vehicle using a AR-type rifle. The appellant did not have that type of a rifle at the time. The appellant was arrested for unlawful discharge and criminal mischief first.
Thank you, Colonel. Comments by the board?
Just as a matter of procedure, say this board issue the permit, the state would not issue the permit with a pending felony anyway. Is that correct?
And this isn't a case in which the appellant has applied for AR, granted AR, in this a short period of time in which that AR may be granted. He is federally prohibited from purchasing or receiving a firearm at this time based on the pending felony. So that weighs heavily in my decision, just the pending felony.
Other comments?
May I make the comment?
Sure.
Due to the pending court case, I would like to withdraw my appeal at this time.
We've gone through the whole case, sir. So you should have done that prior to, unless somebody thinks otherwise on the board.
So if the jury's deliberating on a criminal case, can they come with an agreement before the verdict's reached? Just trying to put it in perspective.
Yeah, I guess you could come to an agreement at that point on the plea deal.
So the same.
Does counsel have any take on that?
I guess I would leave it to the board. I mean, I think theoretically you could withdraw at this juncture if that's the choice you'd like to make. But we have already, obviously, detective here, we've gone through all the evidence, closing our eyes. I mean, it's probably the 11th hour at this juncture.
All right.
And even with the withdrawal, I think the record is still here.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. I just hate to set a precedent where we have a whole case and we allow withdrawals at the end. Other comments?
Why do you want to withdraw?
Due to the pending case, although I am presumed innocent, until the case is resolved, I would like to withdraw the action and follow up with it after the case is dismissed.
Are you aware what the follow-up would be? What would happen?
Reapplication, I understand.
Yeah,
that's correct.
Did you not understand the implications before we started to hear the case, or why didn't you withdraw right at the beginning?
I didn't understand that the pending litigation weighed so heavily on this case. I was relying on the presumption of innocence. But due to the comments of the board secretary that weighed on his decision, that's why I am withdrawing the case.
You didn't realize that a pending felony was a federal prohibitor for the state to reissue.
I thought that I was afforded the presumption of innocence.
I see.
I guess the argument that could be made there is, were his case to be dropped at the criminal level, and we had granted his appeal,
case dropped at state level in the criminal case, then at that point, he's no longer federally prohibited.
Correct.
Any other comments? Because I'm inclined to call the roll because we went through all this at the beginning.
Procedural question, I don't know.
Yeah,
we're at the point of a vote, right? I mean, that's,
we are at the
everything's
point
been said, comments have been made.
I just don't think I can establish this precedent. We can't go through entire cases and then have an appeal withdrawn. Just trying to think about that for one second. You know what? It's 12:14. I'm going to call the recess for 15 minutes. I'm going to think about that, and we'll call this case back on first case when we come back. So we're in recess for 15 minutes. Ready? Okay, calling back the February 8th, 2024 meeting. It's 12:35 p.m., a little bit longer than I wanted because I couldn't connect to Wi-Fi, so my apologies. For the record, all members of the board who were here prior to the hearing are still here, thankfully, otherwise we wouldn't have quorum. So, that being said, we're calling back the case of 22-613. State revocation hearing number 5 on the agenda. The case went to both opening, closing arguments. Evidence was given by both sides with testimony given by both sides with the ability to cross-examine. I do not believe our rules of procedure have any instruction to give us on the appellant's request to withdraw his appeal after close of arguments, and this matter was about to be called to a vote. At the point that that was to happen, the appellant requested that he be able to withdraw his appeal. This has never been addressed by the board, to my knowledge. I don't believe the state's taken a position either way. That being said, with what knowledge I do have, and the closest I could find is a rule under civil actions. This is an administrative action, so it's a little bit different, but Connecticut General Statutes 52-80 gives a plaintiff, which I believe would be analogous to the appellant in this case, the absolute right to withdraw an action prior to the commencement of a hearing on the merits. That's an absolute right up until the hearing on the merits occurs. After that, the court has discretion to allow or deny a withdrawal. That being the case, I believe as chairman of the board, I have discretion similar to that of the court in a civil hearing. And accordingly, I'm going to deny the appellant's request to withdraw his appeal, given that his reason stated was comments made by the board during comments after evidence had closed, that even if we were to grant the appellant's appeal, he would still not be entitled, as we sit here, to a return of his permit while his criminal case is still pending, which it is. However, if that case were to be thrown out in the meantime, we had granted his appeal, he would be entitled to restoration of his permit. That being said, I am prepared to call the vote. We will start with Dr. Conrad.
The issuing authority.
Colonel Overturf.
Issuing authority.
Colonel Lewis.
Issuing authority.
Chief Rosenzweig.
Issuing authority.
And Chair Vos issuing authority. Thank you all for your patience.